In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Surfing through the cable channels with my daughter the other day, we paused for a moment on the public access channel to listen to two young neo-Nazis talk about their political and social views. We were both stunned to listen to them describe their devotion to Stalin and Hitler, and to hear from their own mouths the kind of hate and destruction that accompanied their rules. What we had thought was history became a present reality. History is littered with ruthless rulers. At the time of our Lord, the Herods, Herod and his sons, were considered by the people of Israel to be the most severe of men. They thought nothing of killing anyone who got in their way, including their very own relatives. Now, there were two recent historical events that would have been fresh in the mind of those people who heard the words of Jesus. Both Herod the Great and his son Archelaus took journeys to obtain for themselves the kingship over Israel. And delegation of Jews followed Archelaus to Rome to protest his ascension to the throne. Now, the reason why the people of Israel hated the Herods were for lots of reasons, in fact, because of their ruthlessness, but also because of the way they used political favors. Herod and his sons were known for giving to those who were wise stewards of the mina, authority over so many towns here or so many towns there. And those who were unwise, they punished by slaughtering them. Herod and his sons were ruthless rulers who ruled with vengeance. Now, Herod is in some ways portrayed here as the kind of king that Jesus is not. But what should a true king be? And what kind of king is Jesus? Well, these questions were on the minds of the people of Israel as Jesus is now just about to enter into Jerusalem. Because Luke tells us at the very beginning of this text that the people thought that immediately the kingdom of God was about to appear. Now, in the face of this expectation of the kingdom's coming, Jesus tells this parable of the minas, which is really a parable about kingship as much as it is a parable about stewardship. It tells about this well-born nobleman who journeys into a far country to obtain for himself a kingdom, and that this nobleman is going to return again from that journey. Now, the nobleman here is Jesus, and what is described is his redemptive journey from heaven, where he descends into our world, and then his ascent back into heaven. Now, the far country is heaven, whence Jesus has come from, whither he will go, and whence he will come from again. And he receives his kingdom when his entire work of redemption is accomplished. That is, his incarnation, his life and ministry, his passion, death, resurrection, and ascension, all of which he accomplished for us. Now, this kingdom is always a present reality, cannot be separated from Jesus. Wherever Jesus is, there is his kingdom. Now, this nobleman, before he goes on the journey, entrusts to 10 of his slaves a mina that they are to do business with while he is gone. This nobleman is first and foremost a giver of gifts. And these 10 slaves represent the 12 and the 72 who are given by Jesus gifts of the kingdom already during his ministry, because they are sent out to do exactly what Jesus did, to preach the kingdom and to heal. In other words, they are already during the ministry of Jesus made stewards of the gifts of the kingdom. They will be fully entrusted as stewards of the mysteries after Jesus ascends to heaven and the Holy Ghost comes upon them at Pentecost. Now, since this kingdom is an ongoing reality already present in Jesus' ministry, he has opponents while he makes his journey to Jerusalem. And this opposition to his kingdom is by the very religious establishment itself, Pharisees, chief priests, and scribes. He calls them hypocrites because they do not see that the kingdom has already come in Jesus. They are not able to interpret the time, to interpret the signs that this kingdom is present in him. And they reject the kingdom that Jesus brings. This rejection reaches its climax as Jesus enters into Jerusalem, because they are the ones who are responsible for treating him shamefully, humiliating and mocking him, and putting him to death on a cross. When the nobleman returned, having obtained his kingship, he calls his slaves together to give their account of the stewardship of the mina. The nobleman's return is a reference to Jesus' second coming, when he will return to judge both the living and the dead. And when Jesus returns, he will summon together his stewards of the mystery so that they can give an account of their stewardship of the preaching of the kingdom, of the miracles of healing and cleansing that come through their administration of the sacraments. One servant earned 10 minas, and therefore he is rewarded with authority over 10 towns. Another earned 5 minas, so he is given authority over 5 towns. Now, both these servants do not claim to have earned the additional money themselves. What they say is simply this: your mina has earned, your mina has made. It is the gifts of the kingdom, the gospel and the sacraments that produce the increase, not the servants. In contrast, the other servant, he is so afraid of the nobleman that he is paralyzed with fear. He hid the king's mina in a handkerchief and doesn't invest it at all. And the surprise is that the nobleman takes that one mina from the servant who didn't invest it, and he gives it to the servant who earned 10 minas. Even the people think this is unfair. And yet Jesus says to them, "I say to you that to everyone that has, more will be given. But from the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away." What Jesus expected from the 12 and the 72, what the nobleman expected from his slaves, is what Jesus expects from us: faithfulness, especially faithful administration of the kingdom's gifts. And Jesus tells his disciples that already now during their ministry, while he is with them, they have a glimpse of the stewardship of the mysteries that will be multiplied when they inherit Jesus' kingdom after Pentecost. Opponents to the king, who continue their hostility and enmity until the final judgment, they will be slaughtered. Now, this always sounds harsh to us, but already during the ministry of Jesus, when he sent out those 72 disciples, he tells them what will happen to those cities that reject the preaching of the kingdom, that it would be better for Sodom and Tyre and Sidon than those cities. And the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD is simply a glimpse of that final destruction. Those who live irresponsibly and faithlessly while the king is away, those who hate and reject him and his kingdom until the final judgment, they will be slaughtered, says the Lord. Jesus, who is faithful to us during these dark days of November, promises us a glimpse of his kingdom. And as we wait for his final coming, the gifts of the kingdom are ours. Behold, the true King is among us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.